Suddenly, the Canadian media are full of news of the troops in Afghanistan. This escalation of coverage parallels the rising opposition among Canadians to our military presence in Afghanistan. Similarly, some Canadian political parties are now clamoring for a parliamentary debate on Canada's role in Afghanistan. Yet during the federal election, they ignored this issue. We've contacted Sid Lacombe in Toronto, coordinator for the Canadian Peace Alliance, to discuss our military presence and the call for a parliamentary debate. Hello, Sid. Welcome back to Red Eye.
Hey, thanks very much. I'm glad to be here.
Canada has had a military presence in Afghanistan from the very beginning when the U.S. attacked and invaded the country in October of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us an overview of our involvement in the past 4 years?
Well, Canadian soldiers did enter into Afghanistan very quickly with the U.S. During the initial sort of bombing runs that occurred and the initial invasion after September 11th. Our role was relatively minor under those circumstances. We did have JTF-2, which is our sort of strike force team, was involved in some of the more dangerous combat operations. But at that point, there were Canadian soldiers certainly in danger, and some were killed, in fact, in that period of time. But at the same time, the bulk of our activity was centered around Kabul. And Kabul at that point was significantly safer and remains significantly safer than the rest of the countryside. So we're seeing, you know, a change in location, and that change in location is obviously going to cause more Canadians to be killed.
We hear varying references to NATO command of the military operations, U.S. command, U.N. command.
Mm-hmm.
Who is in control?
Well, at this point, there's overlap. There's overlap in a whole series of different places between NATO and the United States, which are still generally operating under Operation Enduring Freedom, which was the title that was given to the initial invasion. From the perspective of the peace movement, that's not really... I mean, it's not actually that big an issue, and the main reason why we're not terribly concerned about the differences between those is based on the fact that the United States dominates NATO anyway. If we're actually going to be there under the auspices of NATO, it won't actually make that much of a difference in the sense that we will still be under American command. They have set up the entire sort of set of parameters, the development of the Afghan state and all of that type of thing themselves, and did so long ago. So whether we're there under NATO or whether we're there under Operation Enduring Freedom, at this point, according to the Department of National Defense, we will in fact be operating under the U.S. command. But either way, it doesn't matter that much to us.
Does it give a different perception or legitimacy if it is seen as a different command?
It can be sort of seen as more legitimate if it's considered to be multilateral. But at the same time, once again, we don't consider NATO to actually be representative of a multilateral institution. NATO is dominated by the U.S. and has been from the very beginning. In fact, it's an old Cold War relic. We're not entirely sure why it's still in operation. As far as the perception on the part of the Afghan population is concerned, it doesn't matter, actually. The issue around this is not who's in command. It's not the type of tactics that Canadian soldiers are employing. The issue is the nature of the Afghan state. This is a state that was set up by the United States with the help of Hamid Karzai in December 2001. There was a meeting in Bonn, Germany, where the structures of the Afghan state and the processes whereby these would be achieved was developed at that point. And the main issue that we have with it is with the situation right now is based on the fact that the majority of the people who are actually operating within the Afghan state, that is the members of parliament and members of cabinet and that type of thing, represent warlord groupings that have massive human rights abuses on their record. And so regardless of whether or not we're there with NATO or whether or not we're there independently or with the United States, the issue is that the Afghan people see us as supporting the enemies of the Afghan people, that is the warlord groups. And so, yes, that's why we're in opposition to this intervention.
Even though the rhetorical goals that you hear of, that we're there to support freedom and democracy...
Yes, yes. We often hear that we're there to support freedom and democracy, and in fact, it's the same rhetoric that we hear around Iraq. It's the same rhetoric that we have heard around other interventions primarily by the U.S., but obviously with the aid of other powers in the Middle East right now, is that we're always bringing freedom and democracy. The reality is there is no freedom and there is no democracy in Afghanistan right now, and this is based on the fact that the state itself, as it was set up by the United States and Hamid Karzai, there was never any intention of bringing freedom and democracy. There is a very, very clear intention that they would be setting up essentially a puppet regime that would be able to support U.S. ambitions in the region, which have been incredibly well documented. The United States' foreign policy towards Afghanistan over the course of the last 15 years has been absolutely dominated by discussion of the construction of the Trans-Afghan pipeline, and it remains the key issue and the key reason why the United States is there. And yes, support for Hamid Karzai, if he is continuing to make deals and support the warlords, means that Canadian soldiers are going to continue to find themselves in trouble, because we will be supporting, as I say, groups that are seen by the majority of the population as enemies of the Afghan people.
Canadian soldiers were in attack operations before, as you mentioned, and there were casualties before. Mm-hmm. But the degree here of popular disagreement with our presence hasn't been as intense as it seems to be now.
Yes.
Can you talk about this change?
Sure. And I mean, we sort of have talked about this quite a lot in the peace movement over the last little while. We were a little bit surprised by the poll that came out finding a majority of opposition from Canada. We hadn't even really discussed it that much recently. But what we're seeing now is that the majority of the population are quite concerned, and it's based on the fact that Mr. Hillier, our Canadian general and chief of defense staff, stood up and said that we are going to, you remember the famous quotes now, killed detestable murderers and scumbags, and we're not actually there on a peacekeeping mission. So a significant chunk of the population was quite concerned about that and wanted to immediately ask some questions then. Okay, if that's the case, then what exactly are we doing here? What is the justification for us being there? Why are Canadian soldiers going into the middle of what is essentially a rearmament of the Afghan civil war and going to be paying with their lives? What is the point? And that's it's interesting, because the question has come up. We've been talking about some of the sort of problems that we had with Canadian peacekeeping in the past. It's interesting that it was Hillier himself who actually managed to clarify this situation for us. So from the perspective of the peace movement, it was when he started saying what he was saying about the fact that we were going to kill and be killed, it was more of a clarification than anything else. But yes, that's I think one of the main reasons why the opposition has managed to develop over the last little while. The other aspect of this is the fact that the rhetoric around Afghanistan is so clearly mirroring the rhetoric that we hear around Iraq, and we are seeing daily reports from Iraq that things are just clearly not getting any better there. In fact, it's sinking further and further into a quagmire. And if the two interventions are going to be so closely tied to each other in people's minds, that's going to be a problem for the Canadian state.
Did any political parties in Parliament criticize these statements that we're in Afghanistan to kill the scumbags?
Unfortunately, no. We were hoping that there would be some critiques that would be released, but across the board, this is something that's very interesting. I noted that you mentioned in your introduction that there is no discussion of this in the federal election campaign. There appears to be cross-party unanimity on the fact that we should be in Afghanistan, which is absolutely horrible. The fact that means that people in our political parties aren't actually doing their research, and they're not actually paying attention to what the real issues are over there. But yes, I mean, even our friends in the NDP ended up, it was Jack Layton, in fact, was said openly that he, sort of supported Hillier in what he was saying, and it was just a question of speaking with passion, which is something good out of our generals. And so, yes, we were quite concerned about that and remain so.
And over the 4 years of our military involvement in Afghanistan, have the political parties made a public issue of our practices there?
Very little. Very little discussion has been devoted to it. Again, we were happy that there is a debate now sort of up and running in this country, but we were, throughout the course of the election campaign, the peace movement was working very hard to try to make sure that Afghanistan was put on the table, and none of the parties decided they would move on it. So we're happy that they're going ahead with it now, but up to this point we've had not much support from any of the established political parties.
So what can we then expect from this call for a parliamentary debate?
I think that the call for a parliamentary debate is actually a little bit of a problem, because under those circumstances, given that there is sort of unanimity across the board with these various different political parties, all of whom are looking at Canada's specific interests in the region and are quite supportive of those interests. That the problem with the parliamentary debate is that it's quite likely that Mr. Harper and the Liberal Party will be able to make some kind of an arrangement whereby they will all side with this. In fact, it was, I mean, considering that the Liberal Party was the party first responsible for sending thousands of Canadian soldiers into Afghanistan, we don't expect that they're actually going to stand up and say anything different at this point.
You recently met with a woman who is on the Afghan parliament.
Yeah.
What did she tell you about the current situation in Afghanistan generally and for women specifically?
It continues to be hideous. Actually, it continues to be very, very horrible for the majority of the population outside of Kabul. One of the things that is sort of discussed is the fact that Hamid Karzai is in fact just the mayor of Kabul rather than the president of the state of Afghanistan. When I was speaking with her name was Malala Joya. She's a member of parliament from Afghanistan. She was saying that things continue to be very, very difficult for women throughout the countryside. There's very little support and control over the warlords themselves, and in reports after report after report that we have here, all of the sort of consistent message coming from the people of Afghanistan is that that is their major concern, is the rule of the warlords, and it's not being discussed, it's not being tackled, it's not actually being changed at all, in which case things are continuing to get quite bad in Afghanistan. And what she also spoke about, though, is that there is a public relations campaign, of course, about the reconstruction that has been occurring in Afghanistan, but that the reconstruction itself is a little bit of a farce. It seems to be only occurring in Kabul, and even then, it's not helping the majority of the Afghan population. She described situations now where it's actually quite surreal in Kabul, where there's new five-star hotels being built right beside buildings that have been bombed out over the course of the last 27 years of war in that country. Four-star hotels and palaces that the warlords are building on, based primarily on opium money in the downtown core. And, I mean, this is in a country where most people don't have adequate housing and very few people have access to clean water, yet they're still building. They're using the reconstruction funds to build giant squares and fountains inside downtown Kabul.
Are the anti-war coalitions across Canada the only organizations here that are presently working to end Canadian and other military occupation of Afghanistan?
Well, I mean, there's a significant network through the anti-war coalitions that are calling for Canadian troops out of Afghanistan. The Canadian Peace Alliance right now has been growing in leaps and bounds over the last couple of years, and we now have 4 million members across the country from 140 different member groups. And we've been clear right from the beginning that we are in opposition to the war in Afghanistan, and there are other networks and other sort of peace organizations that are starting to get on side with this. And, well, the poll we saw, it's 62% of the Canadian population is also opposed to this intervention. So we're swimming with the mainstream on this one.
Well, thanks for speaking with me today, Sid.
No problem at all. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Sid Lacombe. He's the coordinator of the Canadian Peace Alliance. You can find out more about their work on Afghanistan via the Red Eye website, which is at www.vcn.bc.ca/redeye, and click on Current Show.